Welcome to episode 15 of the Nerdcast, our Oscar nominee special edition. I got some angry faces around here. The nominees were announced yesterday, and we're going to spend probably the majority of the episode on that. So let's first meet the panel of experts here. Is that how we're going to roll
experts?
In?
Ooh.
Yeah, I like that.
I got to stick with it, though. Our video game vixen, Mr. Adam Adair.
Hello, hello.
Sexy.
On the same couch as Tyler over there.
Hi.
You didn't get a special introduction?
Oh, yeah. That kind of hurt.
Aaron,
she didn't talk about my face for podcasts.
Aaron's with us as well.
Call you the book bimbo.
What up?
I'm okay with that.
Dog. Ooh,
yeah, yes, I like
that's
that.
A good one, Bob.
Video game vixen and book bimbo. And then, of course, Bob's jumped in there, so he's introduced already. I get
Why didn't I get a slutty name?
It's
because this is
the sexy really want
this is the sexy cat. Let's be honest.
Oh, you get. Okay, how about. Well, it's hard to do alliteration with my name because, like. We could do Aaron Airhead, but that sucks. That's not sexy at all.
That was... Anyways, moving on. hard roll in today, this episode. So we're just jumping straight in. We're getting in there. Of course, like I said, the Oscar nominations. We'll get initial impressions in a minute. But I want to talk about, since, of course, just this past weekend, which is already being forgotten, is the Golden Globes. doesn't really hold the bar up to the Oscars, I guess. But... Bob, you know, some of those major category winners, you want to walk us down the movie ones?
Best drama was Boyhood.
Yeah.
Best director was Linklater.
For Boyhood.
Best comedy. Everybody was thinking it was going to go to Birdman. It went to Grand Budapest Hotel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Best actor in a comedy was Michael Keaton. Best actress in a comedy was, I can't remember that one. Oh, no, I don't remember that one.
Right.
Oh, it'll come to me. Anyways, best actor in a drama, Eddie Redmayne. Theory of Everything, best actress, Julianne Moore. Best supporting actor, J.K. Simmons for Whiplash. Best supporting actress went to Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. And, Amy Adams won best actress for comedy for
that's
Big
what
Eyes.
It was, yeah.
All right.
And best animated film was How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Not a huge surprise there. Of course, on the TV side of thing, the big waves there was Amazon getting...
Anything, if it was a network, it didn't win.
Yeah. It was all of the streaming services there, but Amazon really kind of went in there with that Transcendence.
Yeah.
Is that what is it?
Yeah.
Okay. They keep, especially now since the Golden Globes won all week, every time I go to Amazon, it's plastered across the front page. It seems interesting. I want to check it out. I really like what's his name,
Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah, he's a really funny guy.
Yeah,
so
you know, there's a lot of really good people and a lot of really good guest stars.
Sweet. And then you've mentioned even the other Amazon series that they've been pushing lately,
Mozart in the Jungle, which I finished, like we talked about, a couple weeks ago, and since then I've watched the rest of it, and the ending was a little disappointing, but it was good.
Good.
It was definitely written in that very, you can tell the flow of the story. It was definitely written in that this is meant to be set down and watched all at once kind of thing. So
yeah. If we're given all this love, though, to streaming series, why isn't House of Cards winning?
It won Best Actor.
Won Best
Kevin
Actor.
Spacey.
Best Actor, but what about Best TV Drama? Mm-hmm. There's, like, it's hard to see anything touching it. I don't know. And Mad Men, also, Mad Men, I feel like those, both the Emmys and the Golden Globes have like we've given them their due.
Well, they won. What, but they won like three or four in a row.
They won four Emmys in a row and then three Golden Globes in a row in their first so many seasons.
But I think I think Mad Men has decreased in
quality. I don't know. This last season's been pretty intense. And the problem is I don't, John Hamm's never won.
He's never won
the actor for it. Maybe next year they'll give him his for the end of the show, kind of
like
they're notorious for doing for everybody else, especially the Emmys.
Right.
I wouldn't say that Mad Men's gotten worse. I think part of it is the novelty of the period pieces worn
off.
Part of it is there's a lot of really good shows on TV that have come since it started.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
When it hit the scene, it was the only thing of its kind on
Mad
the
Men
TV.
Mad Men started a revolution,
There's something like Mad Men or something of that quality.
Of that drama place. Level, for
I'll
sure.
I'll tell you the one I really, and I think, it. I don't know if it got enough appreciation, because the first season was solid, but the last season, The second season of The Americans on FX.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard that. I have heard it's really good.
And that got some award
love.
They
got a couple, little bit of award love there, but nothing
huge.
Because the third season just started. So.
So Golden Globes was the last of the 3 years. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. I didn't. Did you guys watch it? I didn't watch it this year.
I did.
No.
They had a great. They had a really good opening, and then they just kind of faded into the background. And they brought out Margaret Cho doing a North Korean general.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some of the clips and pictures of that. The one notable thing to kind of close out that Golden Globe conversation is I feel like the past few years the Lifetime Achievement Award, Cecil B. DeMille. Has been the winners have kind of given these, we'll say, odd speeches, from De Niro talking about the help that it was working the ceremony to the to what's her name,
Jodie Foster.
Yeah, Jodie Foster asking for privacy and then spilling her entire life story.
Yeah, basically
all this stuff. I didn't see it, but supposedly George Clooney's speech this year was like a knockout home run and just pulled the heartstrings. Paid a lot of homage to his new wife, a lot of thankfulness to her and stuff. Supposedly it was a really good one. So
it was a good speech.
Which leave it to Clooney, because you said Clooney.
There were actually a lot of good speeches. Michael Keaton was fantastic.
Well, hopefully Keaton will be given
Spacey's
another speech.
Spacey's was pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
So
anytime you bleep somebody, it's good.
There you go. Spacey's always
he's
good.
He's good for a bleeper, too. Yeah.
Spacey's hard, too, now, because after watching House of Cards, and it's such a good show, like, I just don't want to like that guy when I see him, because his character is
okay,
such
now,
a...
just calm down.
But it's
saying dumb things.
When I see him and he's, like, doing this charity stuff, like, is that... And I'm like, oh, wait a second. This isn't Frank Underwood. This is Kevin Spacey. Like, he's just so convincing, but...
This is his eighth time nominated for a Golden Globe. First win.
Really?
Yeah. So he didn't win for American Beauty.
Really?
He's been nominated 8 times for a Golden Globe. First time he's ever won.
What are some of the nominations? American Beauty, Pay It Forward.
Was he nominated for
Pay It Forward? I don't think
he was nominated for Pay It Forward?
I think he was nominated maybe for 7. He was definitely nominated for House of Cards last year and didn't win.
Oh, yeah.
What else has he been nominated for?
A number of things there.
I mean, 8 times. So.
Besides awards, Wednesday, we dropped our press release. Did a little differently this year with our convention tour announcement. So the 2015 Pro Nerd Tour. It is there.
It's
amongst us. You can know where we're going for the majority of the year. I mean, more dates will pop up, and there's a possibility some things will change. But in past, we've kind of put them in here and there as they've come to be. And we thought it'd be a little bit more, I don't want to say exciting, but a little bit more, hey, you're going to know where we're at if you're doing cosplay, because we're doing a lot of exclusive shoots, a lot of sponsored shoots.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be doing a lot more interviews, a lot more planning with our staff, too. So I think it helps all the way around. But some big dates on there.
Mm-hmm.
Internally, what are you guys feeling? Are you guys getting ready for con season again? I'm getting excited.
I am.
I need to start sleeping more.
I need to start
to like build up those hours in reserve. I need to do that now, because I'm gonna need those hours later.
Those weekends are such a blast, though.
One after another as it felt like this last year. I feel like 2015, we've got a couple of those like 3 weekend in a row kind of things going on.
We get tight there at the end of May into June. The last in that trio, though, is a smaller show, though, here in Kansas City. So we do open, of course, in March at Planet Comic Con, our hometown show in Kansas City.
Huge names.
Booth options for us is still up in the air, but like you said, at the show,
wow,
they're talking, they're opening up the floor a lot more. The guest list is getting even bigger than last year, and last year was already just a home run compared to normal. Mm-hmm. Some great people, some returns on the cosplay side, Abby and Keith coming back out there, nice people. But yeah, you mentioned the celebrity side, you got one heck of a list, so you can definitely check it out at planetcomiccon.com. That's our March date. In April, we're heading back up to Chicago. We love that show, C2E2.
Mm-hmm.
April, I think 24th through 26th, there, so towards the end of the month. Erin will be joining us for Chicago for the first time.
I'm excited about that.
She is excited. I could tell by that.
I had a lot of inflection when I said it.
Okay. they're starting to put out some names out there too. Stanley just announced for them. Chicago
get my hopes up about Stanley. Yeah. It'll be like 4 hours before the show opens and a press release comes out. Stanley had to go somewhere.
He had to go do his cameo for the 900 Marvel movies filming right now.
Who else have they announced for C2E2?
There's been some other names. The thing is, on our side of C2E2, we don't do a lot of celebrity interviews at C2E2. We focus a lot more on Artist Alley and the cosplay, because cosplay, C2E2 is fantastic. And the show, yeah, the show is the size of it. The pure scope of it is just unbelievable. And I'm really excited this year because we will be working with the portrait dude. Wesley Smith will be there with us.
It's going to be awesome. So, that guy, check out his page if you haven't already. He's like the coolest.
We have at least, as of right now, at least 8 exclusive, for timed exclusive galleries that'll be out on Project Nerd with some talented cosplayers that you'll see first on Project Nerd. Then we roll into May, and this is where Tyler's talking about it getting tight there. We do, of course, Free Comic Book Day. I know we have destinations set in Indianapolis, Chicago, Kansas City, potentially Denver and Dallas right now as well. So Project Nerd team's going to be everywhere just grabbing photos.
Taking over Free Comic Book
Day. Yeah, there we go. Uh-huh. We're rolling through there. That'll be small compared to that back part of May, though. Yeah, we go to Denver for Memorial Day weekend for Denver Comic Con. One of our... I think we love that show.
That's our home away from home.
Yeah, pretty much. I have a blast there every weekend.
In Chicago. I'll go there anytime. You want me to go to Chicago? Sure, I'll do it. You want me to go to Denver? Sure, I'll do it.
So the Denver show is fantastic. Hopefully we'll have kind of a dual setup again, but it might be a little different with our new gaming podcast and them having a dedicated gaming area. So that'll be fun. They're starting to get some names out there too. This is about the time though, last year too, about February into early March is when they really picked up on those announcements. The weekend after, immediately following, is the inaugural Omaha Comic-Con, Comic-Con in Omaha, but Council Bluffs, technically. We will be right at the door. Aaron Lay will have some special news for that show here shortly as well. Some good friends I know are booking up there, but we're going to be a big part of that show too. I'm pretty excited for the news that's going to come out of that about the cosplay contest. So if you're in the Omaha region, check out ocomiccon.com or check them out on Facebook. They're putting together that information. That's going to be a lot of big news around that cosplay competition and how much we're going to be involved in it. And then, 2 weeks later, SawesomeCon, the new anime show in Kansas City again, July 12th through 14th. I believe those are the correct dates
I think that's right.
At Coco Keys Water Park in Holiday Inn. So
I'm pretty. Speedo.
We might just be hanging out in the hot tubs the whole time.
Bob's wearing a Speedo. I'm not going.
You're not going? Okay.
No, I'm out.
And then, of course, on the back half of the year, I won't get into too much detail here because we do want to get to this Oscar stuff, is Gen Con there last weekend of July into first weekend of August around Adam's birthday there.
Yep.
We're going to Gen Con for your birthday. You going with us?
Probably. I don't know.
We'll see.
You're probably moving around that time. You're so going that's going to be
us.
A tough one.
You're going with us. Well, if you're moving around then that means you get to go to Denver Comic Con with us.
I don't know.
No, you're going. Tyler, take care of this for me while I'm announcing.
Are you
going
to bail out of Denver again?
No. Well, Denver I can probably do.
See, there we go. All right, so we're moving on. We've got a commitment before he says anything that's not a hard yes. We got it recorded. Let's move on. Dragon Con, we'll have a small presence back there. Probably more for fun again like we did last time because that show's a blast. There'll be a few more of us, and we'll be a little bit more on the strategy side of getting some more galleries for you. And then, of course, into the fall further with the Tallgrass Film Festival, which Bob, we can get a hard commit from Bob right now on that, I'm sure.
What day is that? What week is that?
October is the 16th through 8th, whatever that weekend is, that middle of October. Around there, too, we got Kansas City Comic Con, New York Comic Con, Rocky Mountain Con that we're at, working out the details for those. So, Tyler, I think proves your point. Yeah, it's quite a big slate this year. There's some tightness in there. We got the team that can take care of it. And it's a blast every time we go these. And some of those close ones are like Omaha's just a couple hours from us. Kansas City is right here. You know, it's that type of thing.
It wouldn't be doable if it wasn't for the fact that like little stretch of like Kansas City, Omaha, and Denver are all like pretty easy.
Yeah, it's not like
easy commutes.
It's not like Chicago, Atlanta, Indy right back to back or something. Yeah. So, all right. So, the title of the episode is the Oscars, and there's a reason for that. We want to really get into this, breaking it down. I think overall there's some good stuff on here, but overall I think a disappointment, some snubs, notable snubs and stuff. Just real quick, we'll get into the details on each categories, but Bob, why don't you get started with just your first reaction when you saw all the nominations?
Basically, like I said, your main films are. I mean, all your big films are all nominated in the top 5-6 categories. Biggest snub for me, one thing I was looking for was Gone Girl, and only got one nomination.
And we'll get into that in some areas because I think there's a few of us that definitely feel with you there.
And then there's that one animated film that didn't make the cut.
No. Bob,
surprising.
One of Bob's favorites.
Surprising.
Aaron, your initial reaction when seeing the list?
Yeah, I was like, first of all, I was a little bit startled that there was so much Grand Budapest Hotel, which I love and put it on my top 10 movies of the year. I think it was my number two.
It finished number two for the site overall on the list.
It's hard. And yes, this is the hipster in me coming out, but I'm like, where the F were they? I'm not going to use it. Where were they with, you know, freaking Darjeeling Limited? That was...
I know that's your favorite of his, but that's
a better movie.
That's
Darjeeling.
It is.
Oh, for
not
sure
even that.
It is,
Darjeeling,
where,
there was stuff before
where,
Darjeeling that was even better.
All of the stuff. Where was all of the hype?
It's taken some.
If you want to get upset about one, it's probably Moonrise Kingdom.
Kingdom.
Yep. The one where you're
that's
like, where was that?
Yeah.
That's probably I still think the best
annoying.
Movie.
Yeah, I think all his
it got nominated
earlier films were more niche type of movies.
I don't know.
Very, you know, you love them or you don't. But I think Grand Budapest was. I mean, most people love that movie.
I think also it kind of goes to that as more people are exposed to it, mixed with a geeky culture. I don't want to say just geek culture and leave it that vague, but a culture of like what geeks are awkward. Geeks are not the norm and stuff. And as that's become more exposed and more popular, things that are like so just, you know, just specific or kind of awkward, I guess would be a way to put it.
Yeah. Well, and Bob said it like it's, and I don't want to do it to his entire, but not that I don't want to say that he's completely niche because he makes really good movies, but like Grand Budapest Hotel, if you go back to some of the more, I mean, his entire catalog, it's still very undeniably a Wes Anderson movie, but it definitely dialed down that like just overwhelming over the top.
Some of his
norms.
Yeah. It's the most accessible.
It turned down a lot of the stuff that I think made his movies unpalatable.
There were people that saw it that I couldn't believe actually would see a Wes Anderson movie, and they really loved it.
So we'll get into more of that. Tyler, your initial reaction on the list?
Obviously, Gone Girl, Lego Movie.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but...
But the other
one
was...
I just need initial reaction. We'll get in deep.
But the big one, and I think he was... I think he's kind of become resigned to it in his career, but Steve James's documentary about Roger Ebert...
Life Itself.
Life Itself was not nominated. Now... For those of you aren't familiar with Steve James, he's also was not nominated for Hoop Dreams, one of the greatest documentaries ever, and The Interrupters. So, a Steve James documentary that's a fantastic, not getting nominated, it's not news to anyone. But I thought that this year, especially because of the subject matter and how much Roger Ebert meant to Hollywood,
well,
the Oscars,
how much the movie was
kind of
even
like
praised,
and
not
how
like
good
it was,
the movie was, it would have gotten a nomination.
So,
and it did not.
Adam, your initial reaction to the list or the nominees?
Yeah, looking through it, it was very much just, I could see all of these, but they didn't necessarily feel like the best. Like, as I'm looking through them and you get to some of these categories and you're like, well, no, I mean, yeah, those are good, but I think, you know, this, whatever this one was, is at least in the top five or in the top 10 in case of best picture. Yeah. Like, we've got 10 spots, but they only gave out 8 nominations, and there definitely seems like there's some movies that should have been included in that list.
Honestly, if you look at the list, like, you know, it's like I said, it looks like the voters only saw maybe like 10 movies.
I don't even think it's that, and we ran into the same thing when we tried to make our own top 10 list. I think that more so than any other year, this is the most, I think, probably, because the way they vote, you know, it's the point system, and so many get you into this category that
you
get voted on again.
Yeah, you have that 5%.
I think this is probably the most splintered they've ever been. I bet you a lot of those movies were right on the cusp, but there was so much, there were a lot of really good movies this year, and there was a lot of almost really good movies this year, too.
Because
there's no one who got nominated where you're like, no, that wasn't worth a nomination, but there's plenty that got nominated where you could make a case for one or two other things have been better.
Right.
I honestly think there are going to be some surprises this year. I mean, I think things are going to be that close.
So I agree with that. And my initial reaction was, it's hard because I don't want to say anything doesn't deserve on the list, but underwhelming was kind of my reaction. Yeah. And that's probably where you say that, because it's like, I don't want to say I'm angry with it or disappointed with anything I see on it, but I feel like there was so much more this year. And there was so much more, not just in my opinion or in our circle, but so much more that was getting critic buzz that has been talked about at other awards, you know, places, at other festivals, at other things, other companies that are up and coming. We'll get to documentaries talking about Draft House, and they made the splash last year, and you thought This year, they supposedly had three documentaries that are even better than their nominee last year. Nowhere to be found. We talk about Selma, a lot of things that'll get brought up with that. So a lot of things that we felt, especially I think in our circle, Gone Girl was the one that we definitely was like, really? But a lot of stuff that was, we've spent the past so many months talking about it being a possibility for this, and then it's just not there. Yeah. It was kind of what it seemed like, and it was like, wow. And it was kind of like, I think Bob probably nailed it on the head. I think it's a great thing there. Tyler and Bob were going back and forth there with it for a little bit. I think it was just the field was so open this year.
Yeah, I think the field was probably the most fragmented. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the votes. But, I mean, there's a lot of movies that aren't Gone Girl that were also, you know, got buzz. Like, I think a lot of people expected Interstellar to get more nominations.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Or Nightcrawler.
Or Whiplash.
Is Nightcrawler even on here anywhere?
Yeah, it got a screenplay nomination.
That's it. Oh, yeah, right here in front of my face.
Interstellar got, like, five nominations, all technical.
Which is more than some of the other ones, but yeah, I think Interstellar, it's like that you expected quite a bit. And to be honest, like when you talk about Fincher and you talk about putting Reznor with Ross on the score there, right. Like you're just like,
oh, well, that's going to be nominated for sure. Yeah. Like when I see that, my initial thought is, well, that's a win.
Especially because how much that score affected that movie that emotion of each scene and stuff. So let's go down these categories. Let's talk a little about them, break them down. The way we got them, so we're looking at a list from the official Oscars website. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So looking at them from backwards to forwards, kind of starting what they put down at the bottom, which it's weird because these are usually announced now. They've moved them kind of towards more the middle of the show, but it used to be right towards the end, the screenplay ones.
Mm-hmm.
But original screenplay, and my first thought here is when I'm looking at it, I think your winner here is potentially your best picture winner because there's two that stand out that I think are the front runners for your picture as well. But I'll give them a rundown here. So Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Nightcrawler. So those are the five. Jump in. I'm not going to point anywhere.
I know you kind of mentioned your thing, maybe Boyhood would win screenplay with that. I don't know. I really don't think so. I think Birdman may take that one.
You think Birdman?
It's an original script. Boyhood, it's not the screenplay. It's just the whole story itself.
The achievement that
it
is.
It's a visual achievement. And the screenplay is really not that, you know, strong. But
And if it's anything like anything else that like Linklater's done in this fashion, you know, like the Midnight and stuff like that movies, it's probably a lot of it was, you know, on the spot.
Yeah.
How much does that screenplay change over a 12-year period?
Yeah, that's true.
I think Birdman's probably the favorite if I had to.
Yeah.
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 I can definitely see what Bob's saying. Cause I think my favorite's when I'm going to relate it again back to Best Picture, I think Boyhood's going to be the clear favorite with Grand Budapest being that dark horse.
But
Birdman was the screenplay of it. The movie was so good, too. And definitely a great case you made there, Bob. When you look at in terms of the screenplay aspect of those three movies, Birdman probably the superior three.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, this is going to be a year of splits. And I think Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest are going to split a lot of votes. And, you know, Grand Budapest, I mean, it's a great screenplay. It's extremely wordy, and Anderson does a great job with it.
It is, but I think it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Anderson. Is Anderson has that quirkiness to his movies, so not necessarily the screenplay aspect of it, but the way it's delivered, the quirkiness, those things he does in all those movies that just deliver it. And I think it was brought out good because he would take those so far that it hit just a certain people. And by dialing it back just enough, you still get that quirkiness, that Wes Anderson touch. So I think it is more on the movie side, the production side than the screenplay.
I think it is his best screenplay, though, in terms of the writing and the story. Some of those Ray Fiennes
are
really, really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really, really well.
And a lot of Wes Anderson movies are good despite the story that's being told.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes. I think sometimes the story gets in the way of what he's trying to do.
They get very complex. They get very, very complex for sure. So adapted screenplay, American Sniper, The Imitation Game, Inherent Vice, which doesn't show up much more, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
Now, we talk about the best picture snub for Gone Girl. I think this is the category more than any that Gone Girl should have
won in a walk. She's won several awards already.
For a screenplay. Well, yeah. It's the author.
If there is an adapted screenplay that should have won, I mean, that should have been nominated, I mean, I think it should have won,
reason it did not get nominated, Whiplash. The reason it did not get nominated is because the Academy moved Whiplash from an original screenplay to an adapted screenplay because the director of Whiplash actually, he wrote the script, he made a very short film so that he can gain funding. And the Academy said,
interesting.
That's why it's an adapted screenplay. Everywhere else, it's nominated for original screenplay on every other award or any other guild. So they put it in the adapted screenplay. It took Gone Girl's spot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they adapted it from his own screenplay for a short film to get funding.
Exactly.
That process is happening more and more. Academy Awards
have always had the most arcane of rules.
There have been other films that have, you know, filmed little scenes and stuff like that to gain funding. And if they've been nominated, they've been in the original category.
Yeah. But yeah, that's definitely, if there's a snub for Gone Girl, it's not best picture. It's adapted screenplay.
I can be with you there. It's definitely the author of the book that adapted the screenplay. I haven't read the book, but anybody who has said it's like, it's an uncanny resemblance. Like it's perfectly, and it's delivered. The subtle changes delivered for the movie, you know, for film as opposed to book is needed, but it's nearly identical. So,
and I think Inherent Vice gets one just off of you were able to make anything coherent out of a Thomas Pynchon novel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an achievement in itself. Whether or not Inherent Vice the movie is decipherable is also.
When I started seeing that come up this morning during the announcements, I was like, somebody watch that movie?
I really want to see it, but yeah. I haven't had a chance.
And you don't hear a lot about it. You really don't.
Well, you heard a lot about it before it came out.
It was a wider release last weekend.
Because it was Paul Thomas Anderson, because it was Joaquin Phoenix, and because it's a Thomas Pynchon novel. And nothing Pynchon has ever been adapted before, but he has a huge following. And there's also a reason that nothing he's ever written has been adapted to, so...
So those are the screenplay ones, and for some reason the past couple years they've put them kind of at the bottom of the list when we print out a list or we look on the website and stuff, but those have always been announced later, and I would feel are considered bigger awards. They're bigger.
Well,
I don't want to dismiss any award, but
they're more prestigious than a technical award.
What those other ones are going to look at, yeah.
For sure. So speaking of those technical awards, that jumps us into, you know, like sound editing, sound mixing, and visual effects there. They just kind of, I don't want to wash over these real quick, but at the same time, I don't want to go into as much detail with these three. Looking at those three, just some key talking points, some key standouts or anything
for
you guys?
They nailed visual effects, all five of those.
Yeah, those are...
The good thing about it is Transformers is not on the list.
Well, that's the great thing about it is, as you know, the one thing I realized when I first look at this list is as the comic book release slate gets bigger each year and year, that means that Michael Bay crap's going to keep just getting pushed out from these. Because it feels like Transformers is almost a must because, there's only five movies that really went this far with special effects.
I don't know.
Now it's like, no, there's tons of stuff that's embracing it and making it a part
maybe
of
the Maybe the Academy were kind of turned off by the studio's push for Best Picture.
I don't know which one of these I don't know which one of them
did
you...
they seriously?
They did. They seriously did.
Paramount?
And Michael Bay for Best Director.
Wow.
So...
And
I thought
like a high school AV club.
I thought Sony was making the worst decisions in Hollywood. I guess not.
Yeah, the big one, the only one here that I think jumps out, obviously comic book, and then Interstellar, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I think Interstellar is the easy favorite.
Yeah,
I think the big. I don't know which one you bump off the list, but I think the big surprise was not the Last Hobbit movie.
Yeah,
not the Last Hobbit movie.
The last Hobbit movie,
I'm pretty sure it's the last one, dude.
The last Hobbit movie,
yeah,
I think it's the only
Middle Earth movie that was not nominated.
Never nominated for special effects, and it's got some really good special effects. I mean, just like all of Peter Jackson's.
Yeah. I don't know if they're better than the five that are on there.
You brought up, and I'm going to go take us back to almost a year from now. Actually, the last time we recorded one was the week before the airing, so just short of a year. I can't remember what was all nominated, but there was something, or no, it was, I think we were talking about The Hobbit, and it was nominated, and the reason, I believe, both Adam and Tyler, you were very adamant about it not winning, is because it's not doing anything else that it hasn't already done, that team hasn't already done, and so by the sixth time, and you get all these other movies now coming out with this ability, it kind of makes sense that it's not there. It kind of makes sense, you know, that it's like,
was it nominated? The only thing they did, I think, new in this whole three chunk was, number one, they did the whole 48 frames per second thing, which is
Did they start with the first one? Oh, all three.
Right. All three.
That's right. Okay.
And then the dragon was Smaug. Smaug was pretty impressive.
That was badass.
And there was a big deal made about how they did the special effects for him too. So it was
the big thing was, the biggest complaint was, is it was so many more special effects and much less practical effects than Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Right. Lord of the Rings was this huge with scale models and doubles and people dressed up, like 1,000 people dressed up as orcs, whereas this was computers, 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 and more computers.
And the other thing is, and one thing it's as always has been with technology and film, is as you evolve into a new level of technology, so that 48 frames per second, it takes a while for your special effects to catch up in terms of, you can tell a little bit more
fake.
That's the blunt way of putting it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's basically, the eye can notice it more because it's becoming at you so much clearer.
Well, you're getting more information,
So it makes it easier to tell.
If it's a little blurry around the edge.
But does anyone see anything other than Interstellar winning that one?
No.
I really don't.
I could see Dawn.
And the only thing that I might see sneaking that is not even Dawn. It's Guardians of the Galaxy, and just because of the love it's gotten. And it's actually gotten some award season love, too. So... at least nomination-wise. But I agree, Tyler. I think that's Interstellar, hands down, and visual effects. In terms of sound, I think you're going to have Interstellar and, say, sound editing, probably. I don't know if that mixing, because of all that stuff that went on with it, I don't know if that's going to hurt it or make it better because...
And I tell you what,
I think it could help with the way that Nolan defended it and stood behind it and said it's supposed to be like this, so people paid more attention to it, so it might help it even.
Yeah. Right. And I'll tell you, the sleeper in both of the sound categories is Sniper.
I would think
because
so.
Because those war movies win those awards a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's impressive, like getting that to work in a way that's not distracting, but also...
I would say you're probably in sound mixing, your dark horse is Whiplash.
Whiplash, too. Yeah.
The drumming.
Oh, man, and they did a fantastic job with capturing that. A great job too on the in visuals and in terms of the editing around it too. Fantastic. I don't remember it being on there in terms of editing, the editing categories.
I think it was.
Is it? So that might be one to look out for there. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Action short film and animated short film. You guys catch any of these 10 nominees, 5 in each category?
None of them look familiar.
Nope.
So animated short film, The Bigger Picture, The Dam Keeper, Feast, Me and My Molten, A Single Life, live action short film, Aya, Boogaloo and Graham, Butterlamp, Parvana, and The Phone Call. I heard some buzz around The Phone Call. It doesn't mean that it's going to win. It's just something that made it, because with these, it could have been plastered all over the world. These are almost impossible to pick in terms ahead of time.
This was what screws up most people's lists.
Yeah.
But I do like the name Boogaloo and Graham.
That is a fun name.
It just rolls off the tongue.
On the animated side, I know The Bigger Picture was one that I heard about some as well, too. So I don't know if that means anything. But we'll move on here to... So let's talk a little bit about production design. And I think you have some... I think this
is a hard one.
That's the look on my face right there. Oh, yeah. I think this is tougher than anybody probably could even predict. But with production design, you have Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Interstellar, Into the Woods, and Mr. Turner. And just looking at specifically, I mean, you got a whole mix, but specifically Budapest Hotel, Interstellar, and even Into the Woods there, the production design is
right.
I'll tell you, not a lot of people have seen it. It was a fairly small release. Timothy Spall starring,
Mr. Turner.
I just saw Mr. Turner recently, and whether or not great picture, not good picture, I thought his acting was fantastic in it, but it's quite possibly one of the best looking movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like the cinematography, the production design, the color, I mean, it's beautiful. And it's about a famous painter. A famous guy who painted pictures and let the art in it, the cinematography in it. It's just a really, really pretty movie.
Yeah. No, it's I think, and that's the thing too. You even have those that
that's
are
a tough category.
Yeah, I think this is a is a good one, and this is where you know maybe some of those splits can happen and start pulling in somebody else.
I'm kind of really thinking Grand Budapest on that one. It's
such a real
diverse. Now,
I do, and I think with 9 nominees, and I think of what we talked about that it's been more accessible. Especially those the award committees, they've really started to turn favor towards Wes Anderson. I wouldn't be shocked either if we see a lot of love for Grand Budapest Hotel, especially in these awards. If it doesn't win Best Picture but wins a lot of these, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
So in a month or so now, when we do our contest pick,
okay,
like last year, I don't have a favorite horse in the race like I did last year, so.
You're not going to make biased decisions.
I think Aaron's going to be the new me in that her fortunes will rise or fall, as do those of Grand Budapest Hotel.
Probably.
If Grand Budapest Hotel sweeps all of its categories, Aaron's going to win the contest.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, she will not.
She looks confused. We'll talk about it offline. But all right, so this is kind of one where we get into that I think started to... this is where we started to feel the snubs really kind of coming in. Of course, we talked about with screenplays, but here, and that's when we get into music. Music, original song, maybe not so much. Everything is Awesome, the Lego Movie. Glory and Selma. Grateful, Beyond the Lights. I'm Not Gonna Miss You, Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me. Lost Stars, Begin Again. I know some favorites here for Begin Again, probably. I don't know.
I as soon as I heard that song, and I think I wrote it in my review, I said, that's best song.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
There's one other time, the guy who made the movie, John Carney, made one other movie. This is only the second movie he's ever made.
Yeah,
the other movie he made was once, and that one won in a walk.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, not granted, it's not Marquette or Glover or Glenn Hansard. It's different, you know, writers, producers.
Well, here's the thing. Everything is awesome. If the Lego Movie is a Disney movie, I'm saying you got competition. But because it's not, because it's not, I don't think it's going to compete with it, and I agree. Lost Stars is going to probably be your favorite.
Well,
here.
I don't know.
You got Glory too.
Glory's been winning, but I don't know.
I think Lost Stars is
the Academy will probably lead more towards that too. I don't know. We do have, of course, score. So before we get in the score, we need to talk about there was two, Whiplash and Birdman were ineligible before they even had the chance to make the list. And the reason is we brought up earlier that the rules are so detailed and crazy with the Academy of, excuse me, arts. Wow. Excuse me. The Academy. We'll just call it the Academy.
There you go.
There we go. So they had too much drums in both of them. Whiplash, majority drums, Birdman actually tons of drums.
Gosh.
Too.
Yeah. That's
fantastic.
Score, yeah.
So the person, cause they do have your, I don't know if you want to call it director chair. I'm sorry, I don't know the technical term for of each segment of the Academy. So the person in charge of music did release a statement when the nominees were coming through, and they said Birdman was disqualified, and they touched on Birdman and Whiplash. And he said, overall, we feel Birdman is possibly the best score this year, but we can't change the rules each year for every little thing, or then it becomes that we have to do it, or we can't change it this year, then we have to do it every year type thing. So they favored Birdman. I could have seen it as being a favorite if it was on here, but it was gone.
It fits so well with that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie's a different movie without that score.
Yeah, so no Birdman, no Whiplash, right out the gate. No, there's no reason to even argue for him because obviously, like I said,
they
can't. But there is some things to argue for. And so the nominees you do have is Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, Interstellar, Mr. Turner, and The Theory of Everything. The biggest, and we've already started talking about it, so it's not a surprise, the biggest one we see missing on this list is Gone Girl.
Yeah. Right.
After watching Gone Girl, that not only that movie, so I've seen it twice now, and talking about it both times, the conversations that I've had with all four of you, actually, about this afterwards is a lot about the movie, but a good hours spent talking about the score and what it did to that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this is my most shocked snub, that I'm absolutely shocked, because you thought last time you had Hans Zimmer with Nolan and you had Reznor with Fincher, that was the two clear, who's going to win it? Two horse race, you know, and Social Network pulled it out.
Right.
I thought we were in that same situation this year. Guess not. So does that make Interstellar the favorite, or are these other ones?
Well, Theory of Everything
Theory
won
of
won
really
the
good.
Score at the Golden Globes.
Mm-hmm.
And
if the Golden Globes have taught me anything over the past few years, though, is that
not to trust them.
May
so
not do the
you
same
don't
thing.
Win both.
You don't,
you
try.
You may,
you don't
yeah.
trust them. But the score for Theory of Everything is really good. It's really good.
So do y'all think that's the favorite? I mean, no, when I you look at it on paper, obviously Interstellar is going to be the favorite, but
right. In
terms of actually being the best and possibly going to win, do you think it leans towards the Theory of Everything? Tyler's pretty quiet on that.
I think if something's beating it, I think it's if something's beating Interstellar, I think it's the Theory of Everything.
Okay.
If you're asking what I think the best score is, I think it's Gone Girl.
I think Gone Girl wins as a walk-on. And
can they do write in ballots?
And Ben Affleck goes up on stage and goes, "You like apples?"
So I guess the thing, and I'll have to read into it more because I didn't really follow it other than hearing that they were disqualified. But there are a lot of things that things get disqualified for, whether like it's an adaptation or it was used before. There's too much like they're using non-original music to then morph into. You know, yeah. I don't get there's too much percussion in it.
Yeah, that one's hard. I can understand.
I guess some of it with like notes and score and it's music and what. I do not get that.
And we talked about this offline a couple years ago before we were doing these on the podcast. There was a couple years ago, I can't even remember what song and what movie it was for, but it was the song with Jamie Foxx did the small Ray Charles part in it. And it was
Gold Digger.
Was that for the movie? Because he did Ray Charles in like 20 million songs, I feel like, for a stretch there.
Yeah.
There was one that was that was for a movie that would have had a nomination for it.
Is that the Dreamgirls one?
No, it was after that. But it was disqualified because
of the samples.
Because it was basically a Ray Charles sample, even though it was Jamie Foxx in that. And so it was disqualified for original song because of it. And it was kind of a big deal. And I agree with what Tyler's saying. That makes more sense as a disqualification for me. Than saying there's too much of one instrument.
Yeah.
There's not enough.
It's not even like it's one instrument. It's a lot of. I mean,
it's the instrument that carries.
A percussionist isn't
going
to get mad at you when you say it's just one instrument. There's a lot of different kinds of drums being played there.
So. Yeah, that's
true.
I'm sorry.
Trent Reznor what's his name? Social Network. He actually made instruments to do the score. He built instruments. I mean, what's the difference between having drums? And building instruments.
Or the fact that, like, for something like Tron Legacy, where it's all electronic, you know, it's all.
Did that get nominated?
No.
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of things that.
It's Daft Punk.
I don't know where that's a weird line
to. I do like Daft Punk, though.
That's a weird line to draw because there's too many drums.
Because there's too much variety. And now, like, you bring up a good point talking about both the Tron style movies, but even what Reznor was doing. Is now you have tools available to make up music, to make up instruments that are making noises, to add just noises. Like Gone Girl is fantastic. Like that's what I thought set it apart too, was that there was part of the score. It wasn't even just in the sound effects, but part of the score is, you know, clock ticking, heartbeats, things like that, that just set this tone that made it better. And that's the same with Birdman. Those drums intensified or even downplayed in some cases situations for that movie that just made it work. That's another movie that was the score was such a big part of it. So
right.
Here's
a situation where they created a rule a long time ago to
probably
legitimize movies,
probably
of
avoid
some
popular music getting into
right,
it. Possibly
exactly, right. As musicians were becoming more and more popular, and they're bringing, you know, Elvis into a movie. All right, well, everyone's gonna like his music best because I mean it was Elvis, right? So we don't want to just give him all these awards. Because he's going to make 8 movies a year, and he could win all of them. So, all right, we're going to have these rules.
Yeah, and
that
some,
it has to be an orchestra, and it has to be a certain.
Well,
arrangement.
It's the same thing. Like any the song category. I mean, they've changed what song and what song could be used. It has to. If you're going to use a song in the credits, it has to be the first song at the beginning of the credits. It cannot be like the second song in the credits. It has to play an integral part in the film. I mean, every year, it seems
it's not even the audio parts of it.
Well,
it
seems like those
getting
rules
right,
change
at.
Every
but
year.
All, with all the rules of the Academy, or anything about the Academy, getting upset at the Academy
is
because they're
futile.
They're not staying ahead of the curve on things.
That's because there's 65-year-old men.
That's very true, and that has been the buzz all yesterday and will be the buzz all weekend on the internet, too. But rules are no rules. There was no disqualification for it. It just wasn't on the list in Gone Girl, and I think we're all on the same page with that one.
Shocking.
But let's move on to, I think, probably an easy category to pick, especially because the trend lately has been giving makeup and hairstyling to these types of movies. But you have Foxcatcher, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and Guardians of the Galaxy on the list. Is it going Guardians here? Is this where Guardians gets their award?
Let's see. We got either Steve Carell's nose or
and hair.
Tilda Swinton's.
The makeup, first of all, Steve Carell's almost unrecognizable in Foxcatcher.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
The Grand Budapest Hotel does an amazing job,
too. But I'm looking at, like...
But all from head to toe, Drax, Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
Everybody.
From head to toe.
Yeah, well, and the fact that they do all the things with the... With the Shi'ar and stuff like that, where there's the blue people and the pink people and the green people. Mm-hmm.
And then you've got all the Ravengers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're all just slightly tweaked, slightly different, little things going on with them.
Yep.
Or what was the guy, the broker with the eyebrows?
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah, there was a lot of interesting stuff there. So
I feel like this is, and I don't remember last year, but I feel like at least in recent years, there's been some trend of, hey, this is where we can give one of those types of movies... give one of those types of movies their award for what they have accomplished on this without giving away anything we feel is too special, I guess. I don't know. So anyways, let's bounce up to best foreign language film. We'll probably go through this one quickly because I don't know if anybody's seen it, any of these, but you have, we'll start with Wild Tales from Argentina, Timbuktu from Mauritania. I've never even heard of that country, I'm going to be honest. Yeah. That's I'm sure disappointing, but
sorry.
Tangerines from Estonia, Leviathan from Russia, and then I think without seeing these, but what we've heard all year, probably the clear favorite is Poland's Ida. Like,
I mean,
we've heard about
that.
That's what it seems like, right? Yeah.
But I've been hearing good things about it, Leviathan.
But with Ida, though, it's not, when we talked about the short films earlier, it's, oh, I've heard these, but that doesn't mean anything. Ida's been getting, that they've been winning international, they've been winning film festivals everywhere. It seems to be the one that's coming in as the clear, that it has some notches on its belt already, I guess, is the way to put it.
And the films, I mean, it's definitely been semi-recent, but the films coming out of Poland have been, I mean, there's a lot of really good movies that have come out of there in the last couple of years. I know, like, they have their own big film festival now that a lot of big studios go to and distribute films from and stuff like that. So
we're still in the technical awards, but we start getting, I think, into the awards with more. That's a good term for it. Achievement in film editing. I want to, as we go into this one, before we start, because the one on the list is the movie I was watching that made me feel this way, that made me think this. And I was talking, I was sitting there watching it, and I brought up, I said, it's amazing, because it's not that movies are doing better with their editing or their cinematography. It's that more of them are doing better. Because it used to be, you point out, like, it used to be like, oh, this movie is so amazing, what it did to capture this emotion and that, and just the way the cinematography was done, that stood out more. And it feels like now anytime I see a good movie, that's now a part that plays
one of the reasons.
And when I look at the movies I loved this year, even from something like a Guardians of the Galaxy, but down to when I was watching Whiplash recently, and that's when I said it, because I just said Whiplash, it just, those dark hallways, those dark tones, same did it with Birdman for all that cinematography, but Whiplash, especially on the editing side, was just the way it cut, the way it was just, it really
very sharp
pulled.
Cut.
Yeah, yeah. It pulled that emotion.
This one I think is a two horse race.
So let's list them first, but American Sniper, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, and Whiplash. So who's our horses then, Tyler?
Whiplash, just because the way it was edited made it much more, it's kinetic, it's frenetic.
Yeah, it feels live.
It makes you feel nervous and uncomfortable, like the way that they're popping from thing to thing. And then Boyhood, because you sat down and you edited 12 years worth of
12 years.
That's it. And it flowed,
and it just flowed just amazing.
You filmed a movie for 12 years and managed to edit it into a 2.5-hour movie.
Here's one thing. And in the past, it's always said that if you are not nominated for Best Editing, you do not win Best Picture. The one movie that's not on this list is Birdman for editing.
So say it again,
if you're not nominated for editing, you did not win Best Picture.
So you're saying if it's giving us any sign of time,
cross Birdman off.
Well, then that gives me my case for the two-horse race of Best Picture, because they're both on there. But
yeah.
All right, so quickly, because we are pushing time, I'm going to just jump through Best Documentary Short. Haven't seen any of those. that kind of goes back with the animated short and the other shorts that it's hard to say. Documentary, though, that's one we got hung up on, and Tyler brought it up already, Life Itself being up on off the list. I mentioned briefly last year Draft House Films made their wave with
Act of Killing.
Yes,
Act
thank
of
you, Killing. The Act of Killing. But they've put out documentaries this year, multiple ones, that people said were better than that.
And they were on the short list.
And they had three, I think, on the
short
list.
Three on the short list.
And then snubbed here.
None of them on the list. Yeah.
Life Itself, I think 20,000 Days on Earth, Overnighters are the three big ones that stand out to us. But when we look at the list that's there, there's one that's been... It kind of goes back to when we talk about foreign film. There's one that's got the notches on its belts that's being talked about like crazy, and that's Citizen Four.
Yeah.
You guys see anything on there that's going to go up against
touch it?
Okay. All right. So we start getting into achievement in directing, and I think this is the one the internet blew up the biggest about in terms of snub. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like there was a lot of questions of where is Ava DuVernay from Selma. They thought people were prepared for history to be made for the first black woman director to be nominated for the Academy Award for director, and she didn't make the list. And you had Iñárritu. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I've never
Iñárritu.
I've never even heard it pronounced, to be honest. I've just always read it for Birdman, Linklater for Boyhood, Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher, Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel. Morton Tilden for The Imitation Game. Any favorites here, or is this look like a difficult category?
It's Linklater. I think it's Linklater or Iñárritu.
That's where I think Linklater's got some competition, though. I think he is the favorite, but I don't think it's like by a long shot.
I think he's a lock.
Yeah, okay.
I really do. I think it's just
Bob's calling it a month ahead. He's not even waiting until our
yeah, I think here. It's just the fact that he took this story, filmed it over a 12-year period. I mean, yeah, it was a week a year, but yeah, over a 12-year period. I mean, the scope of that is just phenomenal. And like I said, he has a lot of love in Hollywood. And I think he's
a popular fellow.
I think he's gonna get. And he had such a great speech the other night. It was very humble, very. Very simple, and I think that's going to get it for him.
So, achievement in costume design. Any quick notes there? I'm going to kind of skim over that one real quick too.
Wow, I mean, every con we go to is going to have a Maleficent costume. So
they already have this past year.
I mean, it's been crazy. So who knows on that one? But I'd say Grand Budapest.
I think this is one because I think Grand Budapest is the darling of the awards this year. They're not going to give them the big ones, but I think this is where they make up some of their wins here, and that's one of them. Cinematography, and this is where Ida comes back into play from Poland, for cinematography there. Mr. Turner, Dick Pope, or as they announced this Thursday morning, Dick Poop.
Oh.
Yeah, poor guy. They called him that Unbroken, which... There was a lot of talk about how that was going to be all over this list, and this is the only time we're seeing it. The Grand Budapest Hotel there again, and Birdman again, of course, because those two are, you know, leading the nominations, so that's why we've said their name so much. Cinematography, again, I think it's hard. I haven't seen Mr. Turner. I haven't seen Unbroken, and I haven't even seen Ida, so I can't. I've only seen two of the – this is probably of the categories, well, besides those other ones we've skimmed over, of the categories we've spent time on. My least that, but this is where I go back to that cinematography part and those movies that I'm talking about, Whiplash. I guess you can give it more to the editing side, so it takes away from that cinematography.
Right.
But here's another one I think Gone Girl is kind of snubbed on. That's cinematography.
I'll tell you Gone Girl was one, Whiplash was another, but the one I think that's the big snubber is Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, a lot of the really big wow shots in Interstellar are completely computer generated.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you just take out the stuff in space and just do the shots on Earth with, like, the Dust Bowl effect and, like, the house and the storms, and then you do the ones they filmed on the glacier where they're on Matt Damon's planet, I thought the cinematography... I mean, let's talk about a Nolan movie that doesn't have phenomenal
cinematography. That's true. That doesn't have great... That's another good point, but I think this goes back to what we're talking about, too crowded of a field.
No, it's going to be Birdman, because Birdman had
those
15-minute tracking shots. And this is the same director who did Gravity.
Director of cinematography.
And cinematography, and he also did Children of Men.
Yeah, he works. Yeah. He works with Caron.
That's quite possibly one of the best shots.
Yeah.
Ever
oh,
in
the,
Children
the
of Men.
Scene in the opening, scene with the baby.
The opening shot in Children of Men.
Oh, the opening shot.
The one that goes
in the
like,
car. Well, the car scene.
Not even that one. There's the whole scene in the with the shootout with the baby walking through that. I
yeah.
mean, it has two
that
or three moments.
But the one that because the one in the car it goes on.
That's
for,
what Juan. That's
and it's going. Yeah,
it's a single shot that goes on for.
Yeah, and Gravity is another great example. And I agree, Birdman. It's and they the actors talked about how you had to be ready, how it was that, and I think that in an unexpected way and kind of probably surprising to the audience, I think added tension and added, intensity to that movie and made you like it, that played as much of a role in the feeling of that movie as I think, the one that we felt snubbed Interstellar.
Well,
you talk
bring
about
up,
these.
Now that you bring up Lubezki with Gravity, I'm not sure that, I mean, maybe this is nonsense, but I'm not sure that the amount of love that Gravity got last year, especially in categories like cinematography, didn't hurt Interstellar this year.
Oh, right. Okay, you know, like, that's a good point.
I've seen that.
But here's a little fun fact. Roger Deakins, I think, has been nominated like 12 times for in cinematography, has not won once.
Oh,
and I'm gonna a lot of times when it comes like that, you say you better watch out because they might finally be giving him that kind of achievement. But I don't think so this year again because I think Unbroken fell flat. For the most part, I can't say I saw it, but in a lot of people's eyes, Unbroken fell flat and get built up a huge world of buzz and then just fizzled once it kind of came out.
Yeah.
All right. So one and Bob's already sighing about it. Best animated film. I think we know who the clear winner is here. It's it was definitely loved, but there was definitely a movie left off. And a lot of people felt it was for the Song of the Sea, that late edition, kind of late release that the majority of the world has not seen.
Yeah,
pushed Lego Movie out, and Big Hero 6, the Box Trolls over Lego Movie, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea,
bad.
And the tale of Princess Kaguya.
Well, I'm okay with it not being bad, but was it one of the? I mean, is it better than the Lego movie?
I have a soft spot for stop motion animation.
But I probably would have gone Book of Love.
Yeah, Book of Love too was really good.
But you know what? And it's crazy because when you think about this, I've thought the past couple years have been weaker on the animation front. But now when you're looking at this and looking what snubbed, you're like, oh, actually, no, it was a really strong year for animation again. Like had a good set of movies.
But unfortunately,
you didn't have any real, like, I mean, other than like Lego movie, though, you didn't have any like game changers.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have any. Either A, like groundbreaking, or B, just super, super, super popular. Other than like, you didn't have like a Frozen or a Toy Story or something.
Mm.
Other than Lego Movie was the closest anything got.
Yeah,
and I love Lego Movie, but when it's all said and done, like it's a fun, super cool movie. It's also an hour and a half long commercial.
Yeah,
like which I think turned a lot of people off of it.
I really want to see Song of the Sea because it is that it is the Ghibli style. Mm-hmm. It definitely something that looks of interest to me. The ones I have seen, it won't win, but Big Hero 6, I think, is one of my favorites on here. I think it's a strong movie. It kind of gets, to be honest, as much as I say animation got better, when I look at a couple of the favorites here, story-wise, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Big Hero 6, maybe it's a good, what you were just saying, Tyler, nothing blew me away. Right. Didn't game change or anything like that. And you do bring up a good point. As much as the Lego movie hit a soft spot for so many people and stuff like that, movie wise, what was like, was it really?
It was really funny. It had a lot of really cool jokes in it. And it was,
but then again, you know, animated films win every year that aren't life changing. So.
Right. Yeah. There are plenty of movies that, you know, if we're looking to the animated movie category for those game changers and things that, you know, will change the way people look at movies, you're looking in the wrong category. That's not where those movies are for. Those movies are there to be fun and they're there to be entertaining. Every now and again, you'll get one that really is out there and really just sets the bar up a level.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. So this puts us into probably what would be considered maybe now the big five as screenplays and directors have gotten less attention over the past few years in terms of the award. Maybe this part Aaron will chime in as well. So actress in a supporting role, Patricia Arquette, Boyhood, Laura Dern, Wild, Keira Knightley, The Imitation Game, Emma Stone, Birdman, and for the 48th year in a row, Meryl Streep with Into the Woods. Is it 47 nominations? Is that what you guys are left? I don't know. It's record breaking. It's getting to the point where I almost feel like they just put her in it. Yeah. And to be honest, her performance in that compared to these other four, like, is it she even really in the ballpark with these in terms of competing for this year?
I haven't seen it yet, but just based on what it's about, it can't be.
No, it's not. I think she does a fine job, but again, she's not bad.
My favorite here, just a home run performance for her. Emma Stone was just knockout dead in Birdman. Just fantastic.
But it's not Meryl Streep, so... I mean, honestly, Meryl Streep's here. She's the best, period.
But she doesn't win every time she's nominated. She's not a shoe-in for a win, though.
I know.
She's made that clear.
I'm not trying to say...
And as Tyler's saying, too, I agree. You got to look at the material that's at hand. She gets the nomination because she's Meryl Streep, but because it's... This isn't a...
Wouldn't be the first time she got beat out by the young up-and-comer.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. Anybody else feel differently than Emma Stone on this list?
Patricia Arquette's going to be
The favorite, I know, right. But I think Emma Stone...
It's such a great performance. It's such a nice, subtle...
Stone, as we were watching it, I don't think, even movies that aren't my favorite that she's been in, Stone has never delivered a bad performance.
No, she does a good job.
And she has range, and I think she can get more and more of these award-type movies. She's going to be back on these lists time and time again. She's fantastic.
But why not Rosamund Pike as a... That's supporting role, right?
No, she's in leading role. We'll get there in one second.
Whatever. I still think that Emma Stone, like...
Anyways, time.
Whatever.
Okay.
Meryl Streep should win. That's all.
Did you see Into the Wild?
No.
Yeah, reason why I could pay attention is when she was on the screen.
I disagree. I don't even think she was the best part of that movie.
I don't think so either.
She wasn't even...
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt, not even.
I loved Emily Blunt.
Kendrick was good, too.
Anna Kendrick did a great job.
Both the princes were very funny, smaller roles.
Right.
The children, though, to be honest. Yeah. You want to talk about the young boy who played Jack, I don't even know his name, but then even Little Red Riding Hood. The one thing I will give Meryl Streep, she did a better job than Johnny Depp did in that movie. The Wolf was terrible. Performance by an actress in a leading role. Here you go, Aaron. Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl. But you have Marion Cotillard for 2 Days, 1 Night. Felicity Jones, The Theory of Everything. Julianne Moore, Still Alice.
Still alive?
Yeah.
She is still alive.
Witherspoon for Wild. Right off the bat, it's a strong field. I think this was a wide one. There was a lot of talk about Jennifer Aniston making it this year.
Yeah,
and apparently she's fantastic in Cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, but apparently
maybe a little too quirky, a little too dark for the Academy when it comes to that. Because you're playing it.
Probably.
When I look at these five, I'm looking at a safe list.
Rosamund Pike? I mean, you're too talking dark. About dark?
They like that type of dark. They don't like dark comedy as much.
Right.
That's dark. I really don't know who the favorite is on this. I haven't seen a lot of
Julianne Moore is probably the front runner. She's the one that they're saying it's her time. She won Best Actress in Cannes for Map of the Stars, and this is a really good performance.
So Rosamund Pike, though, we talked about it in a previous podcast, 36 takes for a specific scene. Still, because it just came out on DVD and Blu-ray, we won't go into it. But when you see it, you'll know what scene we're talking about. Additionally, she changed her weight 5 times for that movie. It wasn't record all the flashback, record. She changed her weight by up to 15 pounds 5 times. She ran upwards to, 4+ hours a day to drop back down weight on certain times. But not only her appearance, but her range in that movie, like... Fantastic. Oh, yeah. I don't want to give away too much information because a lot of it is flashbacks. A lot of it's looking at different
characters.
Yeah. Basically, like when you kind of look at it, because you're looking at different points in their life and things like that. It's just she's fantastic. She's fantastic in it. I don't know. So
this might be her best performance since her role as a Bond villain.
This might be her best performance.
I will say,
is where you need to do.
Yeah, Marianne Cotillard is. I have not seen 2 Days, 1 Night, and I've heard it is.
But I love her. She did fantastic in her previous win, La Vie en Rose.
Well,
she was phenomenal in that.
I think this is where you could get another split, and somebody like Felicity Jones is just hanging out there. It's going to get a lot of votes because that was a She does an amazing job in that movie.
Now, I want to point out, when we look at the actors' categories, because Laura Dern in Supporting Actress, this is her first nomination, which was actually a surprise to me. I figured she would have been here before.
Should have been in for Jurassic
Park. Yeah, obviously. Rosamund Pike, Felicity Jones, both first-time nominees here.
Mm-hmm.
When you get into the men's categories where we're going now, not so much on that first-time nominees thing.
Right.
Has Cumberbatch ever been nominated before?
Never.
So he's the is he the only? Or,
and nope, Steve Carell.
Yeah, I guess so. I just, his name's been around
Michael
so
Keaton.
Much. Keaton's never been nominated.
No, Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like
maybe
a lot
when
of
I'm,
really, so actually like a really lot of new ones.
Actually, okay. So I was looking, the reason, my problem there, I apologize. I'm looking at the best supporting actor list, which has Robert Duvall, Ethan Hawke. Let me start over. Robert Duvall for The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, and J.K. Simmons for Whiplash.
Have Ruffalo or Simmons ever been nominated?
I don't think
Simmons has never been nominated.
Simmons? Yeah, no.
He's the only one who hasn't been nominated.
He's been a small character actor.
He's always... Right.
He rarely plays a role big enough to be a supporting character.
Yeah. Okay. He never gets into that category.
Okay, maybe I was
he should.
And there's Ruffalo, maybe. I mean, he's done some...
Maybe I needed to spend more time researching before I made that statement there.
Maybe.
Probably.
The names all just feel...
Oh, they're familiar names, with Ruffalo being in the Avengers. His name has been out there a lot. Not a nomination or award buzz, but it's been out there.
So in the supporting role, who's our favorite in the supporting role?
Simmons.
J.K. Simmons better win this.
Yeah.
Quit.
Robert Duvall, by the way, is the oldest actor nominated for an acting Oscar now.
Now passing.
Who was he? Clint Eastwood, I thought.
No.
No way.
Michael Caine?
No. Christopher Plummer.
Oh, Plummer, yeah,
oh,
a couple
yeah,
years
that's
ago.
Right. Yeah.
Plummer, just a few years ago, Plummer was the oldest. Yeah, Duvall, I was shocked when I saw
him. He's about 20 years older than Christopher, I mean, younger than Christopher Plummer. So.
That's true.
Everybody looks like they're 20 years older.
But no, Duvall really doesn't look like he's aged in the past 15 years or so.
Oh, I'd put him, you put up a video of him in.
Well, he went directly from like early 30s to like 60.
And then just stayed.
Like he went from like it's basically like the Godfather series to like everything. After
yeah, that's true.
He looks
like Sean
60.
Connery. They just don't age after a certain
now,
age.
Now, did Duvall won for The Apostle? Correct.
No,
he just got nominated.
The only he won.
He was so good in that movie.
He won for Tender Mercies.
That's right. Okay, that's the one. Yeah, I don't think he's a favorite here, especially because he has a win under his belt.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very good.
The Judge. No.
He was okay. The movie's not that good.
So Simmons, I think, and if there is anybody sneaking up behind
Norton.
Him, it's Norton. Norton was phenomenal.
Norton's really good, but if Simmons doesn't win, I'm...
And Simmons was mind-blowing in that.
Who do you call to win, Bob?
Oh, it's Simmons. That's a lock.
Oh, thank goodness. Because I have no freaking clue when it comes to predicting these things, but I'm hoping for Simmons.
So performance by an actor in a leading role, Steve Carell, Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper, American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch... The Imitation Game. I just like saying his name.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton, Birdman. Eddie Redmayne, Theory of Everything.
It's a good
category. Do we talk about
that's a tough
Affleck again? Do the Academy Affleck?
I don't think he wasn't even in the conversation for Best Actor.
Really? Over Bradley Cooper?
You know, I would have put Jake Gyllenhaal before.
Gyllenhaal's the other name I have written right here. Because Gyllenhaal was one that got all kinds of love. Because not a lot of people, Nightcrawler got that kind of, hey, Nightcrawler is going to be something of a dark horse.
Quirky little,
and as it got closer, it seemed like everybody got quiet about it. And then it came out and everybody's like, did everybody see, like, how good was that? Did anybody really, like,
and
how good was Gyllenhaal?
And I know that I liked it a lot more than a lot of other people did, but I thought more people would talk about Miles Teller.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really did.
And then what's his, and we skipped her in the actress category side too, but the your leads, both male and female for Selma. Where there was a lot of buzz around them too.
Yeah.
More so on the actress side. I can't think of her name right now. There was some buzz there that got left off as well. So who's our favorite of these five?
Redmayne.
Think so?
I think it's Keaton or Redmayne.
Probably Eddie Keaton. Redmayne.
Keaton is mind blowing. Mm-hmm. The problem is, and I think this will always stand with me back from the days when we did Project Blue. And Jack Hunt wrote reviews for us, and Jack Hunt always put so much love into his reviews. He was quite a character. He wrote the review for The Wrestler, and he said the reason Mickey Rourke didn't win Best Actor for The Wrestler is because he wasn't acting. That was Mickey Rourke. And I feel like if Michael Keaton doesn't win here, you say the reason Michael Keaton didn't win for Birdman is because he wasn't acting. That was Michael Keaton. Although he says that's the furthest thing from him.
There's but, no. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like him at
all. I mean, like, yeah.
I don't know.
Some interviews, like he seems like a pretty chill, low-key, well-adjusted
guy. I don't
guy.
Know, dude. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's. I don't know.
I don't think he's anything like
he's
that.
Actually.
I think that's.
Joking
that's
aside,
funny
he's
about,
phenomenal in that movie. He is.
I think something that's funny about this, though, with the whole Michael Keaton's career, the whole premise of Birdman tying it back to
Batman yeah.
is that they have announced that they are making a sequel to Beetlejuice with Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah. I'm pretty stoked for that, by the way, though. Hopefully it turns out good. I agree. If it's. I think it's a. I think we've said earlier in a couple categories, two horse race here. Keaton, Redmayne, I wouldn't be surprised if anybody was to sneak up on them too. It'd be Carell. I don't think Cooper, Cumberbatch are necessarily in that final
I don't know.
Race.
Cumberbatch, I would probably say would be the dark horse.
Really? I just don't see it. I just don't see it yet. I mean, if the Academy was made up of 70% women, then we'd have a whole nother
all
story.
The thing, all the Cumber bitches.
The thing with Cumberbatch though is this is. I mean, he hasn't been in a ton of movies. We've done a lot of movies. This is. For all intents and purposes, outside of television, his first starring role.
Yeah,
this is the first time he's the main character in a movie.
And I think he's. And
so
I don't want to take away from him as an actor. He's phenomenal, and I think he's. You know, we kind of brought up Emma Stone earlier. There's still going to be a lot more nominations there. I think as he gets more and more involved in film, we're going to see a lot more of him here.
Yeah, because I mean, after he went on a tear there after some stuff, not just Sherlock, but other things on the BBC, where he was the supporting character in a lot of movies.
I mean,
he
actually even
years.
Played Stephen Hawking in a film back in the early
2000s. So, all right, guys. Well, we got to wrap this up. No, I'm just kidding. Let's get this last category down here. Best motion picture of the year. So this is the one that everybody goes crazy about. The Academy has the ability to put up to 10 nominees. Now, they said they will not force 10 nominees. It will not always be 10. It could be anywhere. I think is
they
it
5 to 10.
That's
five to ten.
Right.
Since, to five, yeah.
since they've expanded that, five. It's never gone down to five. We've many years seen 10, but we've had a couple years now where it's been 8, and that's what we have again this year. American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, Whiplash. So before we break into snubs, into what's that just this is the one I want to hear. Just the title. Who do you think wins?
Boyhood.
Tyler for Boyhood.
That's right. I don't know if it. I don't. I wouldn't be my vote, but I think it probably is the winner.
I have to go with Boyhood.
Yeah.
It probably wins because it's everybody. It's going to be. If it's not their number one, it's probably their number two. And so it's just going to have.
What's
more,
their number
more
two?
More points. Boyhood.
I'm sorry. I think. What's the other number one?
I think there's a lot of number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's the yeah. thing. For a lot of people,
oh, okay.
Birdman might be number one. Grand Budapest might be number one. Whiplash might be number one.
This,
Selma
this
might
be
number one.
Be,
but Boyhood's
could,
probably
this
two
could
for
be
this
real
is
okay.
This
yeah.
is their version this, of our Guardians of the Galaxy.
So right. This is Boyhood.
The critics version.
Yeah, yeah. Your Guardians, just it wasn't necessarily, it made
nope.
number one on two lists.
Right.
But of it, all of us that so
everyone had it in top five.
What Tyler is talking about is our Project Nerd's top 10 movies of 2014. And Guardians of the Galaxy not only won, was our number one as a collective staff, but it doubled the score of the number
yeah,
two
it
movie.
Wasn't even close.
And here's the thing, it was only number one on two lists. But because it finished in everybody's top five, the overall points pushed it ahead. Grand Budapest was the same way on our list. It didn't get a single number one nod on any list, but it was number two on our list because it was in so
and
many
that's
people's
what
top
I think
five.
There was only 8 here. But the difference with the Academy Awards than ours is after they get down to 8, they go back and everyone
well everybody votes
on it,
everybody so. In every category gets to vote now, so it's not
right.
just because these other categories you've had actors
just directors
just
that, screenwriters.
Yeah
right.
exactly
yeah, right.
So this one now is where now everybody is
everybody
getting to
votes.
Put in for these 8 films. I think in my thoughts on it is I agree Boyhood I think is the I don't want to say clear cut favorite, but it's the favorite. I will say though, I would not be shocked if Wes Anderson's able to walk up on that stage for this award.
I agree.
If Boyhood's not going to win, I think Grand Budapest is the one that does. But then you look down the list and you could see, because I could say that exact same statement with, I would not be shocked if Birdman, I would not be shocked if, you know, The Theory of Everything. But I think Boyhood is at the top of this list, and then right behind it's Grand Budapest. But I think splits, all that kind of stuff could happen, that this could be one of those ones where it could go anywhere. And I look back at those years where Boyhood is right now is the, well, it's not even that clear kind of a favorite, but you have your Brokeback Mountains. You have your other ones like that that are clear favorites, and then something else just walks up there. Yeah.
I think there's one favorite. I think there's three maybes, and I think there's four that don't have a chance in hell.
Which ones are those? Because I want to know which ones should be off of here.
American Sniper. I'm not saying they should be off here. I think they're all. I don't think there's. They're a movie not going to win. It's not a good movie.
Okay,
I don't think American Sniper has a chance of winning.
Correct. I agree.
Think Selma has a chance of winning.
Agreed.
I don't think The Imitation Game has a chance of winning. I don't think Whiplash has a chance.
Good.
Of winning.
I think I'd agree with all those. Of those four, I think of what I've seen of those four, Whiplash is fantastic, but it's
just
not
better movies.
Budapest Theory and Birdman are your three that could unseat Boyhood.
I think that's the perfect way of putting it. To
I'll
be
buy
honest.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think that a Wes Anderson film could really win this?
I think this is the time it could. I think it's possible.
I think, and I said it again, I think this is the category that I think you're going to probably see a big surprise. And I do think there's going to be a heck of a split on this one. And any of those, Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest, I think could win it.
I would not be surprised if you take the votes that were tallied just for the nominations, that Budapest was number one. Now, when you open up to the entire Academy, I don't know if it can.
Especially
if
now they're
appeal.
Picking from this list of eight,
but
they're not just ranking them exactly.
Eight, but if you were to go back to the votes that they had just for the nominations, I bet it finished number one or number two
in terms of if being ranked. I could see that. I think it's a fantastic one. I do agree. I think this is a chance for Wes Anderson. I think Wes Anderson, if he can go step his game up even one more time, then we're going to be talking about this is pretty much
his,
lock.
Right.
But right now it's still that kind of maybe. Yeah. Well, but it's also depending on what he's up against that year too.
It's his best work.
I think. You put him up. I mean, we could go back a couple of years. It's hard. There's years in the past. You know, put up Grand Budapest Hotel the year that The Artist won. I think it's got a better shot than this year, you know? Yeah. So it's hard also, too, because what's been put out there, because we keep going back to Boyhood and the achievement
really
that it made over that 12-year span.
Yeah. And the field was, I mean, like we said before, the reason that the nominations are what they are is the field was very wide this year.
But you know, we speak about that.
That helps,
goes back to
that
year
Budapest.
Of The Artist winning. That was
a wide open year. I mean, he's one of those, like we said, his appeal is not real broad. Now, this is by far his broadest appeal movie of all that he's made. Like, it's his most successful, like Adam said earlier.
It's
but at the same time, like, Grand Budapest Hotel was a fantastic movie, and I could definitely see it winning. But if there was one contender on here that was as strong as some of the winners have been in years past, it wouldn't have a chance. Yeah. Like he said, like it's up against The
here's
Artist.
This is kind of interesting. Grand Budapest, of these eight movies, at least, American Sniper opens today, but Grand Budapest is the one that has made the most money at the box office this year.
That is interesting.
It's also the one that made the most money for Wes Anderson at the box office. Yeah.
Well, is there another one on here that had a wide release other than American Sniper? These were all fairly limited.
And Sniper's just now.
I would say, like, other than maybe Boyhood.
Well, Selma's
like
just now also, though.
Selma just opened.
Yeah,
and American Sniper.
Other than American Sniper, like, Bradley Cooper, being Clint Eastwood. A lot of these theaters.
Theory
of
Everything
movies,
had a wide release.
Had a pretty good release. That's just
but it just,
I
don't think it was, it's not that type of movie, though, that's going to.
Not everybody's.
But I think American Sniper and Boyhood are probably the only ones on this list that opened in more than
2,000
theaters.
I got to wrap us up here. If you don't care for the Academy Awards, we're sorry. We still love you. But if you read the title, it should have warned you that's what this episode was all about. Like every week, we're going to close with saying we want to hear your thoughts on it. Feel free to give us some, you know, what you thought about the Golden Globes. Tell us maybe a little bit about our convention pick so far for our Pro Nerd Tour. If you want to see us at any additional shows, because it is not a complete list. But of course, definitely give us your feedback on this list of nominations, snubs, favorites, anything like that. Feel free to let us know. If you think we're idiots on what we picked, or if you think we're right. I know it will depend on who's who. And sorry, Tyler. But
what?
They're going to think you're an idiot for your picks, is what I was trying to get out there.
It was a wicked burn, bro.
I was trying to say,
it could have been.
Talk about a snub.
Anyways, talk about a snub. Actually,
you agreed with me the entire thing.
So that's true. I don't know. I was just trying to pick on Tyler. But anyways, definitely give us your feedback in the Podbean comments on the comments below. Also keep in the loop, because this is, I think this is potentially our first episode that's going to be on Stitcher as well. So if you're on Stitcher, welcome to the team.
Hi there, Stitcher.
Definitely looking to reach more people. But once again, leave your comments. Check us out on Facebook, projectnerd.com. our Podbean page, anywhere else. So depending on where you find us, just go Google search Project Nerd, because you're going to be able to find us a lot of other places too. So thanks for listening. We'll be back for episode 16 next week.